Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Physically, just reverting to old habits and making sure that you're staying on top of your mechanics and everything's sequencing correctly. And I got a guy, Chris Hess, owns Biometric, that came out last week and did some more digital mapping of my mechanics. Just making sure I'm staying on top of that and allowing my muscle memory to kind of take that in and stop reverting back to old ways. But as far as mentality or understanding defenses and really understanding the league goes, I mean, that's just kind of going on with repetition. And the more that you play, the more that you're around, the more that you learn. It's a fun process to be a part of, but it's asking questions that might make you feel uncomfortable, but making sure that you're learning everything you need to know and trusting your coaches, like I said, is really the main thing for the mental aspect of the game.
That, of course, would be Bills quarterback Josh Allen from a recent Zoom call. The Bills are on vacation until they show up for training camp in Orchard Park at the end of July, and we're going to talk more about, we'll talk about the stadium here, and then we'll talk more about the Bills and stuff we're going to be talking about when camp starts, when Joe Marino from Locked On Bills, the Locked On Bills podcast and the Draft Network, will join us at the bottom of the hour. If you're just joining us, it's Tuesday. Good morning. Grab your coffee and then give us a call. 803-0550. Full capacity for the stadium this coming season. That was announced by the Bills yesterday. What did you miss the most about not being at the stadium last season? You can let us know about that. Whatever else is on your mind, that's fine too. You can always change the topic. We're fairly flexible.
A lot of new stadium chatter on the station yesterday. One Bills Live. Manny Glab and Steve Tasker talked about it quite a bit. The afternoon show, Mike Shope and the Bulldog talked about it quite a bit. You know, what do you want out of a new stadium? What does it all mean? And, you know, I think one thing that'll happen is over the course of the next few weeks, months, how this process plays out, we're going to get more information, right? The people that are involved in this probably know a lot more than we do, and only some of it's come out. There's been a statement from the Bills. There's a report about this Legends global prestige worldwide thing. Sorry, that's a Step Brothers joke. Prestige worldwide. Yeah.
No, the Step, what is that?
Step Brothers, a movie that you haven't seen.
Got it. Thank you.
I'm sure. Right.
Yeah, you're pretty, right. You would be safe to assume that.
All right.
Sorry.
The thing I keep getting hung up on, because, you know, sometimes you want to, whatever, we have a job, we're supposed to say what we think, and you only have so much information, so I don't want to go all the way to the wall on something like, you have to sign this player. You know, you feel comfortable about that kind of thing. The whole thing about how they might move temporarily, yeah. I guess I cannot go to the wall on how preposterous I think it is, because I don't exactly understand all of it and I don't have all the information. But even the mention of the idea that they would have to leave, or they're prepared to leave for a year while it's being built. I guess that being reported, I'm not saying that I don't believe that report. You know, it just seems to me like it's such a strange contingency that maybe they talked about it very briefly, but it's the odds of it happening. I cannot understand in any scenario how that would make any sense to anyone, mm-hmm. that they would go play at Penn State or Toronto for a year, or it is preposterous.
Yeah.
Right? I mean,
well, this is where I'm going to admit to being naive sometimes on the show. Honestly, I only saw that seriously as if they were faced with this scenario. We're going to knock down the current stadium and build exactly on that spot. You need someplace to play.
Again.
Because it wouldn't make any sense to, if you didn't have to do that, and you can build near the current stadium, then just stay where you are.
Right. The whole thing is absurd. Minneapolis and Chicago are the two teams that had to do this. And that's because they are in the downtown, Soldier Field's not, but they built on top of the other stadium, right? They renovated the stadium that they
Soldier
were
Field's
in.
Soldier Field's downtown. It's along the water, but it's in the
sure,
downtown
okay, but
area.
Sure,
yeah.
Okay, but when I say downtown, I mean, if you see Minneapolis' stadium in the Metrodome, that was like packed in the middle of the downtown
okay,
area.
Okay, right. Yeah, Soldier Field is not in where all the big buildings are, correct?
Right. So I think in the scenarios where a team has to move, it's because you have a football stadium packed in and around other buildings, and you have to have one of those implosions and mm-hmm. then build on the spot.
Yeah.
The Bills do not have that at all. There is is there any reason? I'm sure an architect could tell me there's some strange effect sometime. Is there any case to be made that they cannot build it in one of the gigantic lots next to it? I've got a lot of people saying ECC South is going to be closed. And that, like, maybe they'll buy land from ECC South and build it. There is so much space out there that, first off, the decision to stay out there might be controversial or something that people don't necessarily like. I don't know. I can't think of something that I can remember like this where something has been reported, and I can't think of anything more ridiculous than the idea that the Buffalo Bills would leave their stadium while they tore it down, while these vast fields around it are just empty. And, like, yeah, we have to go to Penn State.
Okay, let me throw another one at you. I'll play. It's not necessarily devil's advocate, but all right. What about this? They're going to build the stadium somewhere. The new stadium will go somewhere around the vicinity of Highmark Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't use... And they would be worried that, okay, we're going to take up all this area to build the new stadium, so we're going to lose all this area of parking and access, and it's going to be a construction area, not year-round, maybe for part of the football season, right? You could still be doing work in September, maybe October, and since it'll be a work area and we're losing X number of parking spots, it doesn't make any sense to also have 70,000 people coming to Highmark Stadium while we're in that area building the new one. I'm trying. I'm trying here. They just don't want to be. It's too much of a nightmare for traffic, for fans. It's construction zone. We don't want to do that. We're gonna go someplace else.
They just played in empty stadiums. They just played where fans had to get drug tests, disease checks and swabs and stuff. People did that.
Yeah,
drive-through COVID testing. Listen, yes. Guys, we're down like 400 parking spots. Like, we're just going to move to Penn State.
I'm working here. You got to give me a chance. Look, it doesn't make any sense. The only way it makes sense is if they literally are told, we're blowing up your stadium. You can't play there for 2 years.
I know. And I can't. I'm having trouble. The synapses in my brain cannot get those things to connect.
Yeah.
The other teams that have done things like this, you know, what did Kansas City built on their own stadium and they managed to stay there? How about Syracuse? Stayed in the Carrier Dome while changing the roof.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, I know it's different. It's not 70,000 fans, but I'll just keep bringing up the Mets, who also have where Citi Field is. Shea Stadium was. There's not a lot around there. There's Long Island Railroad, there's the subway, and there's chop shops. There was a lot of room, a lot of territory. So while they were building Shea Stadium, literally next door, they were building Citi Field. They didn't leave Shea. They didn't disrupt anything. You could still drive into the parking lots. You could still have all the infrastructure, the road access, the train access, all. Nothing changed at all, except there was a building going up outside of Shea Stadium. It never affected a single thing. Again, 30,000, maybe 40,000, 50,000 fans, not 70,000 plus, but they made it work. And sure, they lost some parking spots, but everything was fine.
Yeah. Well, one part about this, and we did bring this up yesterday, you know, if the county has no say in the new stadium, they might get mad. They might not extend the lease. So what would that mean? Would that mean that the Bills are going to try and get their own – they want to be free of the county in all this? Don't they – they can't really be free of the county.
Well, they'd have to negotiate a lease with the county for the new stadium, right?
Unless they're going to privately finance the whole thing, buy space, and build it, right?
Hey,
does the county have to be involved
me. Go
for
ahead.
That?
I would assume it's county land, right? You would just have to pay them for something. Maybe they wouldn't have to have a lease with them if they went that way. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, this is what I mean when I say, like, not having all the information, which, you know, whatever. I'm sure there's plenty of times we don't have all the information. But not having all the information, I struggle a little bit with how definitively I want to say there's zero chance on earth they play games at Penn State. But that's what I want to say. Like, yeah. I trust the reporting there, and I just think it has to be some version of a, you know, don't forget we could leave if we wanted to. We have plenty of places that would host us,
yeah,
which is not unusual for NFL teams because they've got games in Mexico City and games in London, and now there's talk of a game in Germany, and if you wanted to sell a game somewhere else, you very well could. If the Bills wanted to play a preseason game in Penn State, I'm sure they could just do it, right? Toronto did happen, but
The Bears are the only team, right, that all these new stadiums have gone up over the years, right? Wouldn't the Bears have been the only team that was physically forced to move to another location?
The Vikings played.
They played it. Oh, that's right. They played at what, University of Minnesota?
Yeah, I think so.
They played an open-air stadium at Minnesota. I believe you're right. Yeah.
Yes, for 1 year.
All right.
But that, again, was we literally have to implode the old place before we build the new place in the same spot.
Right.
The Dolphins hung a roof
in
the offseason, and nobody had to move anybody, had to move anywhere.
Yeah.
Right? They didn't play games at the University of Miami, I don't think.
No, they didn't. They could have used the Orange Bowl, too. I'm pretty sure they stayed right there at their own stadium.
Yeah.
I guess here's my question with the county and what the county role is here, and if anybody knows the answer, you can let us know, since I don't, obviously. Wouldn't it be the same, let's say the lease expires, and the Bills build a new stadium on county-owned land in Orchard Park. Jeremy, wouldn't it be the same as any business that wants to come in? You would pay, what, property taxes? I mean, a company that comes into Western New York and builds a new building doesn't have a lease with Erie County, but they pay property taxes to the county, the city, whatever the case may be. Wouldn't that be the same with the Bills?
Yes.
You wouldn't have to negotiate necessarily a lease. You would say, we're buying the land from Erie County. What's your price for the land? Okay, thank you. Here's your money for the land. It is now our property, and I would assume all you do is pay a property tax.
And sometimes that gets waived, right? And I would say oftentimes
that gets
waived.
You know, like little perks thrown your way to have your business in Western New York. Yeah,
right. I feel like when the Giants and Jets built their new stadium, they got that land, and then they got it for free.
Yeah.
Sometimes that'll be the deal. It's like you get this giant chunk of land for free, or you don't have to pay any tax on it.
Yeah, you can get an exemption and all that stuff, right?
Yeah. Another tweeter writes in about this. Adam writes in, the only thing I can think of is they want competitive bids for other areas for short-term leases so the county and state doesn't hit them hard on the final way out. Sure. To me, that's what the most this story could be is, no, for 2024 and 2023 and 2024, we want sweetheart deals to get us to 2025.
Yeah.
You know, like former Bills management always talked about a runway to the next stadium.
Mm-hmm.
And now we can see that the next stadium, at least the reporting is that 2025 is where that runway gets. Okay, you got to get there.
At the earliest 2025. That's not even a guarantee that it would be 2025.
Yeah.
Could be beyond that. You could be looking at lease for, you know, longer. What's the lease? Lease is through 23, I think?
Yes.
All right. So you'd be looking at least 2 years, maybe three or four, depending on the time frame of construction.
And could easily be extended.
Yeah.
It might be the kind of thing.
Is
there going to be a conversation where, well, for those 2 years, I mean, let me tell you, this place is falling apart. We're going to need $100 million last 2 years.
Yeah.
The
county wouldn't want to pay money for the last 2 years of the stadium if we're going to have a new facility. Right.
Right. And the other thing is, like, how would and how should the Bills feel about the idea? Think of how the players talked about playing in Toronto for a game.
Boy.
What are the players going to say talking about playing in Penn State?
Yeah.
It's just there's no way.
Yeah, I didn't see the article, but I kind of saw a little clip of it. There was an article in one of the Pittsburgh papers, I don't know which one, about the feasibility of actually playing games at Penn State and how you make that work from their angle. mean, they kind of have a team playing there on Saturdays. Could you even make it work? Could you have 106,000 or whatever it is fans at a Penn State game on a Saturday and then clean up, do everything you have to do to turn around the stadium in 24 hours, or what if they have a night game on Saturday night? Turn around the stadium and have, you know, NFL fans there, Bills fans there the next day. I'm not even sure about the feasibility. Toronto wouldn't be an issue, you know, unless, well, no. Well, yeah, the Jays actually might. Jays might be in a new stadium of their own by then. Anyway, my point is, making it work with Penn State could also provide a layer of, how do we make this work with the Nittany Lions football games on a Saturday? Do the Bills have to play home games on a weekend where Penn State's not at home because you can't have back-to-back days in the facility? Who knows? I mean, I think that in itself would open up other headaches.
You ever driven to Penn State?
I have, yes, one time.
There is no fast way to get there.
There's nothing there, yeah. UB played there a long time ago, probably when Turner Gill was here, and I just remember, you know, it's basically driving through the hinterlands. It's not like it's an interstate. You know, you're not driving to Pittsburgh. Interstate all the way. Yeah, no, you're going through like the backwoods to get to Penn State. It's not an easy drive. Yeah.
Jeremy in Virginia texts in that the Chargers played in Carson City, but they moved. They left their
home.
Yeah,
they played in the Schmub Center. They left San Diego.
Right, exactly. They moved. Their stadium wasn't ready. In the process of moving, fine, I believe that. This isn't a scenario where they would leave and then come back.
Yeah,
I've got to believe that there's no way that would happen. So, anyway, that, like, to me, that's the thing that sticks out about this whole story, and that was reported, and I just, that's a weird one.
How bad could the lease deal be that they would want to throw this out there? Like, what would they be looking for in a temporary or a short-term lease that they don't have now? They just, what do they want? Less, lower rent? I mean, I'm trying to think. I don't know all the ins and outs of the lease. Like, I know there's capital improvements, right? There's X amount of money the county puts in, I think, on a yearly basis that the Bills get for capital improvements and other expenses and all these. Like, I'm wondering, like, is the lease that bad that they would say, we're going to leak a story about Penn State or Toronto because for 2 years or maybe three, we're going to need some major concessions in a lease?
Yeah. Well, you know, like, the other thing is, I guess you could say, instead of getting a X amount of dollars for the last 2 years, like, hell yeah, that 50 million, that 100 million, that 200, we'll just roll that into the new stadium costs.
Oh, okay, so maybe, or you're looking for a better new lease on the new facility.
Yeah, this is, I guess, step one or step 10 of everything will be negotiated. Right. No, you don't give away anything for free.
Right.
Like when Gary Bettman in the NHL, we're not sure if we're going to allow XYZ, because when the next CBA is up, they need to make sure they fight for everything. So anything you give is a concession.
Here's a weird thought that you just popped into my head as you were talking about Gary Bettman. I don't think the two are connected, but you know, they did a study about the football stadium. What else did they do? They did a study about the hockey arena. Now, although the county doesn't own Key Bank Center, right? Don't the Sabres own Key Bank Center?
Yes.
I was trying to, so forget that. I was wondering if it's possible, whatever's going on with the Bills and the lease and all this stuff, is there some way they're angling to get some kind of help to fix Key Bank Center up? But I believe they own that building, so it wouldn't work that way. All right, forget it. I just was rolling stuff through my head about why they would be doing something about, hey, we might go to Toronto or Penn State. You know, hey, slide us some money to fix Key Bank Center and, you know, we'll be all good. I don't know. I'm going to stick with what I said. That's the only thing I could see is if you need a new home is because you physically can't use your old one, your current home, I should say. And I still think you could make it work without blowing up the stadium. Why can't you just build it next door?
Yeah, the Bears are the other team to watch with all this, right? The Bears went out and bought land.
Yeah, and there was a story today that somebody floated out some survey to Bears fans about whether or not how they would feel if they had to go to Arlington Heights, and I don't know how far that is from Chicago, by the way. I guess it's a suburb. But somebody has a survey out there for Bears fans about how you would feel if you had to go to games in Arlington Heights instead of Soldier Field. The Bears, yeah, so maybe the Bears are doing that. The Bears are, there's some talk that maybe they're going to have, that possibly they'd be selling the team, that it would leave the McCaskey/Hallis family for the first time ever. What else? I saw, was it Mike Florio had a note the other day, Jeremy, that this whole thing about maybe building a new football stadium in Chicago, could they have two teams in Chicago someday? That if the league wants to expand again and they don't want San Antonio or whatever. They've already gone to Vegas, and they've run out of places to go, and it's not to Europe, that they could add a second team in Chicago. So New York, L.A., Chicago, you'd have a second team, and one plays in Soldier Field, one plays in Arlington Heights. So there's a lot of stuff going on with the Bears right now.
Yeah.
Crazy stuff. So, I don't know. Look, I'm still not convinced. The whole thing, I mean, like, do you feel the story comes out with the new stadium, and I think there is some reaction that it's a done deal. Like, I'm not, I mean, you still got to figure out who the heck is paying for this thing. And $2 billion, $1.5 billion, $1.7, whatever it's going to cost, it ain't going to be cheap. Like, I'm not convinced this is a write it down in pen thing, because I'm not sure how this thing gets financed unless it's completely privately financed.
Right.
It's a big ask for state, for county, for city. How much are they asking for? And how do you get it done? It's a tough time. Hey, man, I got home improvement stuff going on. I'm dipping into a line of credit on home equity. I don't have, I mean, that's where my money's going. How do you get the finances done?
And materials. I mean, that's the other thing, right?
Oh, now's a bad time to be building stuff.
Yeah, we had a texter write about materials, the cost of everything, cost of tickets. Yeah, I mean, you might want to wait a couple of years to build it just because of the cost of materials.
We're putting off some of the home improvement projects. Our contractor said basically, first off, I'm book solid, but the cost of everything. You want a new back deck? Yeah, don't do it right now because the cost of materials. We had to get a new fridge. And then, you know, the guy's like, well, just so you know, sometimes it's we don't have fridges in stock. It's hard to get them on order. Like, it's crazy now trying to do anything related to home improvement. So, yeah, look, that would be down the road anyway, you know, right? We still have to do, I assume, is there like an environmental study, architectural designs, the behind-the-scenes negotiating, the lining up of finances, right? Are you asking the state for money? All that stuff. Right? There's so much stuff to do. My point is, before you get the old shovel in the ground ceremony, I'm not convinced that it's actually going to happen.
The one thing, you know, you said as you see this news, what do you think about it? I mean, we've talked a lot about the big, easy questions, dome, this or that. Covered stands, like, that does it for me. That's fine.
Yeah.
I think it's a great compromise. Not every cold weather stadium or cold weather team plays outdoors, right? Detroit doesn't. Minnesota doesn't. Not every, you know, I don't really believe it's a advantage for the Bills. But in terms of identity and that kind of thing, you know, should Buffalo be playing outside? If you want to say yes, like, I get that. The appeal for we'd be the only market ever that wants to get a retractable roof but leave it open when it's 5 degrees out, right? No. Close it for the other stuff.
Right.
Just leave it open for the games. We're fine here.
Hey, would that even be up to the Bills, or is that like I'm thinking about Houston, right? Is that a league decision whether or not you can have a roof open or closed based on the weather?
That's a great question.
I think that's I would tend to believe that's not up to the home team. But I don't know. I'll look into that, right? Wait, I mean, are the Bills going to sit there in December and there's a huge division game and Miami's in town and we're going to, and it's, you know, 5 degrees outside and snowing and they're going to go, yeah, you know what? We're leaving the roof open today. Screw the Dolphins. I feel like they can't do that. I feel like the league would have rules about whether or not a roof is open or closed based on weather conditions. That'd be pretty funny, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Warm team in town. Throw the roof open. Yeah, but it's cold outside. So if you get, so you would get open air, but in theory, right, you would be covered or most of the seats. I mean, how far is the overhang going, by the way, right? Is it going to be like the old Texas Stadium where there's just a small hole over the middle of the field and everybody's covered? Or, I mean, like, what is it, Hard Rock, guys, Miami's stadium, right?
Yes.
That overhang, does it doesn't cover all of the seats, or does it? And that's mostly about covering you from sun and keeping you a little bit cooler in the building. Does it cover all the seats in Miami? Or just like a portion of, say, the upper deck?
I think it's most of them.
Most of them. All right. So that's what you would have here.
Except the sun does hit the field where the other team is, right?
Yeah, there's their competitive advantage, right? So you'd be protected from rain and, I suppose, snow and whatever other elements are coming down out of the skies. Yeah. So it's open. You get the best of both worlds then, right? Open air. And yet you're protected from the elements, so maybe you don't have to wear, like, rain pants anymore. No, you would if you're tailgating. 803-0550 to join us. 888. All right, someone tweeted and said they thought KeyBank Center was owned by the county. And that the PSC is the operator of the facility, but they don't necessarily own the property. I'll double check that. 803-0550 to join us this morning. 888-552-550. We'll talk more Bills in a moment. Joe Marino, Locked On Bills podcast, joining us in just a few minutes. But let's give you a code word, and let's see if we can give away $1,000 in our national win cash contest. The word is bump. B-U-M-P. Bump. Text that to 72881. You have until 8 o'clock to text the code word in. Message and data rates may apply. Please never text and drive. Bump. B-U-M-P. 72881. It's our national win cash contest. It is powered by BetQL. Let BetQL's proven data and analytics help you become a better bettor. Download the BetQL app today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Guys like Allen and Lamar Jackson, I think, are great examples of how it will still fluctuate. And it might be the same group of guys, but those guys are going to go from having MVP caliber seasons one year to maybe just pretty good the next year and see that kind of drop off and fluctuation. Even a quarterback, it's such a difficult position to be consistently amazing year after year. And we're in a good time for quarterbacks. There's a lot of good players at that position in the NFL right now. So I think the list, it will change. You know, Aaron Rodgers went from being a good quarterback over the last couple of years, albeit one that had sort of declined from his best play, to suddenly an MVP and the best quarterback in the NFL again. So Rodgers goes from being maybe scraping his way onto this list to being right at the top somewhere based off the year he just had. Josh Allen obviously takes a giant leap forward. The questions are going to be, how close to that season can he get again?
Is Sam Monson from Pro Football Focus. He was on yesterday afternoon, if you missed it. It's available in on-demand audio at WGR550.com. If you're not familiar with the Locked On Podcasts, the Odyssey app allows you access to the Locked On Podcast Network. Our Joe DiBiase does a Locked On Sabres podcast. You can catch the Locked On Bills podcast through the Odyssey app with Joe Marino. Now, Joe is, we're glad to say, a longtime friend of the station. We have had him on. The afternoon show's had him on for years because of his work with the Draft Network. So basically what we're saying is we knew him before he became big and famous, which he is now. And he is from the Locked On Bills podcast and joining us on the Western Hotline. Joe, it's Howard and Jeremy. Good morning. Congratulations belatedly on the podcast.
Oh, thanks so much, guys. I appreciate you having me on. And I'll be honest, I always kind of wanted to do more Bills content. You know, my niche is kind of the draft stuff, but was hesitant to do it. But back in 2019, when the opportunity came to do Lockdown Bills, I jumped on it, and it has been wonderful. And Bills Mafia has been great to serve as a fan base. Very passionate group of people that really demands a lot out of you. So I like how I have to be the best version of myself, and I'm really challenged to serve the fan base is the best I can.
Joe, would the jump have been as quick in, like, you know, like 2012, 2013? I mean, they had bigger problems then, so maybe, you know. But it's definitely, obviously, it's a fun time to be covering this team.
You know what? That's a great question, and I've even hinted at that at times in the podcast where I don't know that it would be as rosy. You know, I really don't. I did not like Rex Ryan even before he was the head coach of the Buffalo Bills, and I often think about, you know, if I had to cover the Buffalo Bills with Rex Ryan as the head coach, and my tendency, to be quite honest, I don't know. I don't know how that would have went. So I think the timing was right for me and the Bills to welcome me as somebody who covers the team.
Try doing a four-hour show every weekday through a drought, and we'll talk. But one other thing on the podcast, I'm going to get into to Bill's issues with you this morning, Joe. So just talk a little, for fans who have yet to find it, again, Locked On Bills on the Odyssey app. What are some of the things you cover? What's the podcast all about?
Well, it's, you know, at its core, it's a Buffalo Bills podcast. But what I think I bring to the table in terms of what makes it unique is I'm very passionate about roster construction. And so we get in depth on not just Stephon Diggs and Tre'Davious White and Josh Allen, but we cover all 90 guys on the roster and really get into what they bring to the table and how they can help a team and how they can make an impact. And, you know, Brandon Bean's thought process when he's drafting players and bringing in free agents and tryout players. So we get into all of it. And, you know, we have some fun days where we have some creative content. But at our core, I think we talk Buffalo Bills football with an emphasis on roster construction.
I did have a roster question. I'll bump it up now on the pecking order here. Is there anything else you'd like to see Brandon Bean add? There are still rosters, I think two roster spots available. There's been, you know, speculation about maybe Zach Ertz for a little while now. I think we're always wondering if there's another veteran cornerback move coming at some point before camp. Should he add anything else?
Well, I mean, I think he's got to look at those opportunities that he has to bring in bodies and at least see what you have. I've long been concerned with the defensive tackle position on this team. I think there's plenty of reason to be excited about Ed Oliver this season and him taking a major step. We've seen that from several other Bills players in their third seasons, but I'm not sure that there's much outside of that to get excited about. I mean, Star Lotulelei coming back, I think he could be a reasonable starting one technique, but I think Vernon Butler has mostly been a disappointment so far across his NFL career. I'm not expecting much from him. And then Harrison Phillips, he's been a flashy player at times, but, you know, I'm not sure that he's anything more than an average rotational one technique as well. And so when I think about a guy like Mike Pennell from the Kansas City Chiefs, who's a longtime stalwart at one tech in the NFL, and him being available at this point in the process, that makes me interested to give the Bills even more depth up front and even more size. You know, I think cornerback is a position that certainly is interesting. I think they love Levi Wallace and Dane Jackson. I think everything from the messaging that's come out of Brandon Bean, Sean McDermott, even Leslie Frazier, they're very high on those two players. And something I uncovered on the podcast today, actually, is going back to 2012 and looking at all of the Sean McDermott cornerback tandems, he's never had the same two guys for consecutive seasons as outside cornerbacks. They're going on year three of Levi Wallace as that primary guy of Tre'Davious White. I think they're quite comfortable with what they have, and I think the moves that haven't been made speak to how comfortable they are with Wallace and White as the outside corners.
What if you look at the offseason in its entirety, and this includes either re-signing their own or bringing in players from the outside, the best move or best moves of the offseason, what would you say they were?
I really appreciate the emphasis to get length at the edge rusher position. It's not just the draft picks when it comes to Rousseau and Basham, but F.A. Obada, a guy with, you know, very long arms. And you saw a statistic earlier today that Sal Capaccio shared on Twitter, courtesy of the FTN network. about how the Bills' pressure rate was really good. Fifth best in the NFL, 2.5 seconds in terms of snap to pressure on the quarterback. They just didn't finish very often. And so getting guys with length is going to help finish, right? Your margin for error is increased, and that, you know, the amount of space you can cover and all those types of things, and having compression style players that don't just take loopy paths to the quarterback, but they know how to press and reduce rush angles to help you finish more. And so I love that that was an emphasis of this coaching staff. I think we can all recognize that despite considerable investments on the defensive line, it's underperformed. And I hate when teams cling to mistakes and they say, well, we tried and we got to roll with this. No, like, just keep going until you find the right mix. And so I really appreciate the emphasis there. I think an underrated move that the Bills made this offseason is going to be Jacob Hollister at tight end. We know this team wants to run spread concepts and challenge with spacing and size mismatches, and I think he's an upgrade over what the Bills have had at tight end too. And so I think it gives them more versatility to get some bigger bodies into the slot and just have more options for Josh Allen. And I'm not predicting 40 or 50 catches, but I think as that complimentary tight end, I think he can really help this offense.
We're with Joe Marino, Locked On Bills podcast on our Western Hotline. You brought up length, and that can tie in to the draft and pass rush too, because I wanted to ask you what you thought of the draft class. And quite honestly, if you look at it in terms of who could do something in this coming season, we would probably be talking about Rousseau and Basham, and I'm not sure much beyond that. So what about those two additions?
Well, I think it's more versatility up front. Basham, an experienced player at Wake Forest. I've been watching him for a long time. I've been to Wake Forest several times, and obviously he was one of the main attractions for going up there. And so I think his motor, his urgency, his ability to truly reduce and play in the B gaps as well as outside will really help the defense. And Rousseau, I subscribe to him having a curve ahead of him, not playing football last year, really only being a defensive lineman for two seasons after playing wide receiver and safety in high school. I think it's going to take some time there, but if you can put him on the field on long and late downs and have him just get after the quarterback with his length and his size and his ability to press angles and get his hands up into throwing lanes, I mean, that's going to help the defense. And so I like what those guys can do. And when you think about, I'm guessing part of what was on Brandon Bean's mind when he decided to go with these two pass rushers and then these two offensive tackles was, well, they couldn't get to Mahomes and affect him enough to, you know, really slow him down. And then you saw what the Tampa Bay Buccaneers were able to do to the Kansas City Chiefs from a pass rush perspective in the Super Bowl. And so you think to yourself, yeah, we need more of that. But also when you think about these two offensive tackles, Tommy Doyle, Spencer Brown, look across the landscape of the NFL last year. There were big-time offensive tackles that were hurt. In Kansas City Chiefs, right, both of their starters were out. Ronnie Stanley with the Baltimore Ravens, David Bakhtiari with the Green Bay Packers. There were a lot of premier offensive tackles that missed huge amounts of time last year. And I think this was not only an emphasis by Brandon Bean to get better at rushing the passer, but to make sure that his guy could withstand some injuries up front and making sure that you're protecting Josh Allen. So I think that was very much at the forefront of his mind, was looking at some of the dynamics of the season last year across the NFL and trying to make sure that those things didn't become issues for the Bills in 2021.
Before I let you go, I'm trying to recall, are you a Mets fan?
I am a Mets
yes,
fan.
Yes, I thought so. Okay.
I don't love baseball quite to the degree that I did in my younger years, but when the Mets are cooking, I get excited.
Yeah, I think that's a fair way to put it. I don't watch anybody but the Mets. I'm not as big an MLB fan as I used to be. Yeah, yeah.
Joey's already said that he's not doing well with first place. he's really in a bad place.
I'm stressing out a little bit, Joe, and they're in first place in a bad division, and I'm freaking out, and it's only June.
Yeah, well, I remember, I think one of the moments that ripped my heart out when it comes to baseball was when the Mets were up, there was it 13 games over the Phillies with like 20 to play, and they blew it. You know, it's one of those, you can only withstand so much of that, you know, enduring a long season being dialed in and before you, you know, really commit yourself to the heartbreak again. So I'm uncomfortable. Obviously, they're an injured team, so maybe they'll get better. But they're four and a half up in the division in the middle of or towards the end of June now. So We'll keep our fingers crossed and pay attention when it really gets serious.
I got to check the schedule, make sure the Marlins aren't the last series of the season this year. The podcast is Locked On Bills, and it's Joe Marino. Subscribe to it. It's on the Odyssey app. It's part of the Locked On Podcast Network, and it's not just Bills. I mean, if you're, you know, as I said, Joe has Locked On Sabres. But if you go there, there are numerous teams and drafts, and I mean, you'll find tons of Locked On podcasts there, so check it out on the Odyssey app. Joe, best of luck with the podcast, and as always, thank you for giving us some time on the show.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys.
And that would be Joe Marino, too. And I should probably mention, I should get him on Twitter, too. I just want to make sure I don't screw up. Is it the real Joe Marino? There he is, at the Joe Marino. So you can follow Joe on Twitter as well. And he does some great work with Draft Network, which is a fantastic website for draft prep. 803-0550 to join us. The Bills announcing full capacity at the stadium this coming season. What did you miss the most about not being able to go to the stadium last season? You can let us know on that or whatever else is on your mind this morning.
I'm going to have a knee-jerk reaction question for you when you get back.
All right? Seven.
No, it's going to be – I want to know the NFL player you find to be the most interesting this season. Which player are you most interested in their season?
Their performance, yeah.
Yeah, I've got an answer who I think is one of the more interesting players coming into the 2021 season. So I'm going to find out yours too.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
What's up, people? I'm Carl Massive. I'm at my house here in Westchester, Pennsylvania. Just want to take a quick moment to say that I'm gay. I've been meaning to do this for a while now, but I finally feel comfortable enough to get it off my chest. I really have the best life. I got the best family, friends, and job a guy could ask for. I'm a pretty private person, so I hope you guys know that I'm really not doing this for attention. I just think that representation and visibility are so important. I actually hope that like one day videos like this and the whole coming out process are just not necessary. But until then, you know, I'm going to do my best and do my part to cultivate a culture that's accepting, that's compassionate. And I'm going to start by donating $100,000 to the Trevor Project. They're an incredible organization. They're the number one suicide prevention service for LGBTQ youth in America. And they're truly doing incredible things. And I'm very excited to be a part of it, to help in any way that I can. And I'm really pumped to see what the future holds.
That is Carl Nassib from the Las Vegas Raiders. That was on social media yesterday. First active NFL player to announce that he is gay. And he made that announcement yesterday. And it's going over fine around the National Football League. We'll see if where it goes from here. It makes life a little bit easier for some other folks. Former players have announced after they were done playing the NFL, but no one has ever announced this while they were still active in the National Football League, and Carl made that announcement yesterday.
Yeah, and in his post online, the Trevor Project that he mentioned about suicide prevention services for LGBTQ youth, they are, according to his Instagram post, 5 times more likely than their straight friends to consider suicide. So he basically says he wants to be a part of helping that. So Mike Golic Jr. tweeted out this and made a point for anybody, because you'll hear some people say, like, who cares? Why did we need to know? The answer to that is, in his post, that studies have shown All it takes is one accepting adult to decrease the risk of an LGBTQ kid attempting suicide by 40%. So whether you're a friend, a parent, a coach, or a teammate, you can be that person. So what does it do? It helps people. So it helps a lot of people, and good for him.
Yeah, you know, I think it helps people who are dealing with, you know, do I say anything? What are the repercussions? What happens? Family, friends, workplace, all these things. And I'm going to guess that or those are some of the factors that lead to the suicide issues, the suicide rates. So thank you for sharing that information with us. I thought about this long and hard in the break. And I went
teased.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'll tell people what I teased in case they're just joining
us.
Of course, Carl Nassib makes the headlines. Yesterday, I asked you who you thought the most interesting player in the NFL was this year. Like, which one player are you the most interested to see how it goes for this player?
So I did. I thought about it long and hard, and I tried to go through positions, and I tried to, I think, almost maybe overthink a little bit because the easy answer is just pick a quarterback. Running back, wide receiver, tight ends, defensive stud, whatever. I came back to quarterbacks, and then I started spinning through different guys like Justin Herbert, Trevor Lawrence, Lawrence and Etienne, Ryan Tannehill. He just got Julio Jones. I like my answer. I went through a whole bunch of different quarterbacks. Dak Prescott, he returns from an injury. I ended up circling Matthew Stafford with the Rams because I think he's a really good quarterback, and he languished in Detroit, and he didn't really have much success. He's had some really good stats. He goes to a team that is, 2 years removed from the Super Bowl with a coach who has gotten a lot of credit for his offensive creativity, but he had Jared Goff. So I thought Stafford with McVay together and to see what they could do, to me, that was the one I decided to go with to see how that works out because I think this is Stafford's best chance to try and win some football games.
I like your answer. I don't know if it's my number one, but he's on the list. And the reason I brought it up, Sean McVay spoke with Albert Breer of Sports Illustrated. I brought it up to talk about Stafford.
Mm-hmm.
Without ranking 1 through 5, here are my top most interesting players. Stafford is, for everything you just said, agree. Is he going to ball out in L.A. with the Rams? McVay said, quote, to Albert Breer, this dude's a bad
Mr. Falcon?
Yes, he's a bad Mr. Falcon. Whatever people say about him, as good as it can be, he's even better than advertised. Huh. It makes sense to him. The guy's ability to see the game, his ability to draw on his experiences, the feel that he has, it's pretty special and unique. And, man, his feel for people, his authentic way of connecting with his teammates, his coaches, this guy, it's great being around him. It will be interesting to see Stafford because the Lions – man, could you do worse as a franchise than the Lions have done in their franchise history? I mean, to be totally. And, you know, anytime we talk about this guy's probably better than people think he is, I can't help but get a little bit of Jack Eichel vibes because, you leave a franchise that has wasted what people believe is a talent. Stafford's got his detractors for sure, but it's not like he's ever been with an offensive genius there in Detroit. The best they had was a season with Jim Bob Cooter, right?
Yeah.
That went okay.
Way to work in Jim Bob Cooter on the show.
Yep. Always, always.
You know, with him, I don't have the stat, Jeremy, but I'm sure I can find it, obviously. We always talk about fourth quarter comebacks for quarterbacks, right? How many times they lead a team from behind? How many times did Stafford have a fourth quarter lead and the Lions blew the game? Because I feel like, I mean, he has put up, especially when Calvin Johnson was there, but he has put up very good individual stats at times with not the greatest talent around him, really not much of a running game to speak of most often in Detroit, fairly mediocre head coaches, defenses blowing fourth quarter leads. You know, how many more wins would he have had if they were a better defense, a better football team? So that's why, I mean, I always looked at him and felt that's a really good quarterback in a bad position. Maybe that's your Eichel analogy, by the way. A really talented player outside of Buffalo. I'm sure NHL fans look at Eichel and go, wow, he's really good. It's too bad he's on a bad hockey team. I think that was Stafford's MO for Detroit. And with the right coach, with a really good defense, with good weapons on offense, I mean, they could win that division. I think that division is going to be a hell of a race this year.
Yeah. I'm not positive it'll go great for him.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he's not always been great. It's not like – I just think that there's a number one overall pick. There's lots to like about his game. He's obviously got a, you know, big arm. And in an offense like Sean McVay's, I mean, there's almost like – I have a little bit of like I do for Kyle Shanahan. And Brian Daboll might get this on his next job. You know, you run a really successful offense, you get your pick of the litter at quarterback, and you tell me you like that guy. All right, I want to see what that looks like, mm-hmm. right?
You're expecting big things, sure.
Yeah. So for Shanahan to finally get – he gets Trey Lance. Like, okay, I think I want to see everything I can from Trey Lance because you run good offenses, you do it with most quarterbacks, and you said that's your guy. McVay, I mean, they re-signed Goff, which was not a slam dunk at the time, I don't think. Mm-hmm. And McVay – here's McVay, who runs this offense and has had success with Goff, saying, like, yeah, this guy's not good enough. I need that guy instead.
Right.
Okay, you have my attention, you know?
Yeah. Did you you didn't give your number one then? It wasn't Stafford.
The guy I want to talk about was Stafford.
It was Stafford. Yeah. I thought you said he was lower. Nope. He wasn't on number one on your list.
Well,
he was in your
didn't have
five.
A full ranking. It's just
the
guy that I was hoping, no matter who you talked about, yeah. I was going to talk about Stafford. So
good.
I think he's a good answer there. Dave texted in Jameis Winston, who I think is another good answer for this.
That's a really good answer, actually. I like that one a lot.
Yep.
I got a couple others. I don't know if you have anything next, and it's actually 8:02, so we should probably get to break. I got a couple others I want to throw out at you. 803-0550 to join us, 888-552-550-WGR.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.